Welcome to Idle Red Hens Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And what is Idle Red Hens Weekly? It's the scratch on the roof of your mouth that would heal if you could just stop tonguing it. And today we have a guest, again, a return guest, our first returning guest.
Ooh. This is Jamie, returning.
Nice. Yeah, so Jamie's with us again this week. Yeah, we've got some fun stuff to talk about. Yeah. So, but first, kind of what's everybody been up to? We just got off of our Golden Week, so it's our first week back to work. So did you take advantage of your time off or any game-related activity?
No, oh, that's great audio, huh? Because no one can see me shaking my head. Yeah.
Working on moving and all right. In the evening playing the pre-sequel of Borderlands.
Oh, yes. Mm. Oh, you're looking forward to Borderlands 3?
And oh, yeah. Shooty, gun. All
the microtransactions involved?
Yeah, well, not getting any money from me.
Right. It's all cosmetic anyhow, so they say.
Sure.
So, nothing, Chris?
I didn't do much gaming, because, it's not really a vacation when you have a two-year-old.
Right.
Yeah, it's just daycare, a different place. I did, actually, along with a lot of other people, launch a Patreon.
Ah, yes.
To squeak in under that May 7th deadline.
Right.
What it is, I'm updating those old Fate-accelerated fantasy monsters and characters and stuff that I had made before. They're still going to be free, so the Patreon is just kind of acting like a tip jar.
Nice.
Different levels. Actually, to make it a bit more attractive, I'm doing early access.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So everyone who's a supporter gets access to the PDFs a month before public, and then next month I'll just put them up on the website for free.
Oh, good. Mm. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, so we'll put a link to that in the text below. And so people check that out, especially if you're playing Fate. It's well worth it.
Yeah. I realize it's kind of a niche game, especially compared to like Dungeons & Dragons.
Right.
But...
yeah, but content.
Yeah, content.
Mm. Support independent content creators. And yeah, so Jamie, you're getting ready to move.
Yeah. 3 more weeks in the country.
Oh, wow. Wow, so are you kind of set to go back? I mean,
what fashion?
Yeah. I mean, I guess mentally, and like, do you have a job lined up or anything? You're just going to go back and kind of just relax? Wow, living dangerously.
Yeah, it's scary.
Oh, wow.
If anyone knows of a place hiring an editor or proofreader, I am your person.
All right. We will put your Twitter account definitely in the description. Looking for an editor. We'll work.
Freelance is great. Remote would be perfect. Mm. But I don't have a set place to live either, so anywhere in the country is fine.
Wow, you're very open. That's good.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's exciting is what I'm going with.
For some definitions of exciting, yeah.
Wow. So this week, mostly I've just been preparing for we're going to run John Carter on Friday, and it's going to be a session zero. Originally, we were going to play the Quick Start Adventure, which is all the name characters, John Carter and
Deja Thoris. I'm drawing a blank on Tars the Grey Market. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So those characters, and they're a little bit beefy, and just just sample combat and just to get you into how the system works and interacting. Mm. And immediately all the players said, but I want to be...
I forgot who the other players might possibly be. Right. One of them is always can I play the werewolf in the vampire game? And you're just like, oh, geez, really?
That's what we're doing. We're going to do a session zero. And maybe, depending on Chris's schedule, we may just do it remotely. Or actually, I was listening to someone talking about doing character creation individually or separate sessions, or even running like just kind of practice combat or whatever as... with parts of the group is a good way for people to kind of get into the system and then introduce them in. So, you know, that session zero can be a little bit spread out.
Right.
And I'm still kind of putting together where we're going to adventure. And I think we're going to have to decide that too. So even if you're not there, I'll definitely keep you in the loop about the setting, the kind of era, and what people want to do. It can be very fighty-fighty or it can be very political.
Possibly a different topic or time for a different podcast, but I wonder how closely it sticks to the books, because there were, 3 books? And three different eras, or 2 or 3 different books in 2 or 3 different eras, maybe.
Yes.
But when you could play.
It's interesting. Yeah, they do a good... I mean, basically, it's 3 eras. Right. And the first setting is his first year on Mars, meeting all the cast of characters. The second one is his kind of warlord era, so when he kind of leads and allies with Helium and fights... all the other people. So that's where they start to introduce all of the Martians we haven't seen before. Basically, you start out in that first era with red and green.
Right.
And then all the mystery and the secret religions and living gods and things are revealed. So more of the secrets evolve. But then he disappears and so you can actually play without any of those characters existing, just as Legend. Mm-hmm. And that's the, I think the fun thing about the setting is you can actually have characters. I don't believe there was a John Carter. I don't believe that exists. And it's been long enough and nobody quite understands why this guy keeps coming and going, or why any Earthborn people keep coming and going, because they are immortal, basically. Yeah. So it should be fun. And that's what we're going to kind of have to agree on based on the kind of characters people want to play, because it's a little complicated. And the other thing that is interesting about the setting is telepathy is part of the setting, because when the Martians talk to each other, they speak and they also telepathically communicate. Mm. So you can't lie, you can't bluff. People understand you, but Earthborn that come to Mars, they develop telepathy. They can read the thoughts, but they can hide their thoughts. So they're the only race that has the ability to bluff. Yeah. So the best thief or con man would definitely be a human.
First and only time the Earth or basic humans are actually interesting. Yeah. And don't just get like a do whatever you want for your ability stat bump.
Yes. And they have incredible distance.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're basically superhuman. Yeah. Because of the light gravity and all this stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Suddenly everything is, yeah.
Yeah, the first couple pages of John Carter Mars after he lands on Mars is him adjusting to actually being able to walk because everything is so messed up.
Yes. Mm. Which is something they didn't do a good job of in the movie. The Disney movie was just, oh, come on. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Disney movie lost me as soon as people were not properly attired.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the book, basically the only thing red Martians wear is like a jeweled bikini bottom, irregardless of gender.
Well,
I knew that was not going to happen for a Disney movie, but I was like, okay, you've already like strayed from the source material. So
I was holding out for topless Disney. I don't know. It's coming. They got to feel the pressure.
Now that I'm thinking of Disney and John Carter, I would have loved to see an animated John Carter of Mars Disney movie done in the style of Atlantis.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Yeah, I've seen some animators and illustrators do great John Carter, you know, very cartoony, you know, angular John Carter illustration that would be great. Because, you know, you're so used to the painted Frazetta, you know, look of that universe, because that's what all the book covers look like. Mm. But it would be nice to see, something with an original style that fit that setting. An interesting topic that may come up in a future podcast, but we'll discuss a little bit here, is recently Bethesda's pen and paper Elder Scrolls game had a little bit of a controversy. They were accused of plagiarism. So they released a setting, their Elsewhere setting, contains text almost completely copy-pasted, like very little changes except for maybe place names and things, from a D&D adventure called The Black Road, which was written by Paige Leitman and Ben Heisler. And it was just part of the Wizards of the Coast organized play. So they probably weren't even compensated for it. And this company is now cribbing their text and selling it as an adventure in their RPG. So that's a little bit surprising. And also, I guess Elsewhere is coming out for the MMO, the Elder Scrolls Online MMO. So they're doing that setting as well. So Jamie, you have some experience with Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, I hopped on the series from Morrowind on.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and Khajiit were always my favorites. So I'm kind of annoyed that they done them dirty so much with this. How about you hire some people to actually do justice to the Khajiit homeland?
Yeah, recently, because there's been that kind of controversy has been coming up. Independent people, like there was someone that did a PC game on Steam that basically had character types and everything exactly from the first season of Star Trek Discovery. And so he had to sue CBS to say, I released this game. Mm-hmm. You know, we use these particles to travel in this game. There are these creatures. There's a interracial gay couple. You know, it's just like, you guys took exactly.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
And they have proof that they released it before the CBS.
Yes, he has documentation that this was released. So it was very possible somebody said, oh, nobody's heard of this game. Well, it's kind of interesting. Why don't we try to,
Wow, that's annoying.
Yeah. So just, picking on the little guys and thinking you can get away with it. And a lot of times you can, because the little guys, if you just settle out of court and said, we'll give you $1 million, you want to shut up? And a lot of people are like,
sure. Yeah.
I will be able to, make next game.
So what you're telling me is write a bunch of fan fiction that covers everything. Yeah. Hope that it gets made into some other kind of product so I can sue someone and get $1 million eventually.
It's the new, the new startup strategy. So that's really interesting and a little frustrating. And I wonder how much of that we're going to see as the demand, to keep producing, content for so many RPG systems is coming out. We're going to see retreads or, that feels a little familiar. I wonder when then,
Well, I mean, I'm only vaguely interested in video games, so I didn't even know the system existed or what system it's for. Mm-hmm. But I had been following along and just from Twitter news. Oh, yeah, I saw that this thing was essentially plagiarized. I wonder if it was a case of people who made this not really knowing much about RPGs, and so just kind of using something that already existed.
Mm-hmm.
You would hope a company as big enough would kind of know to go through the proper channels and do it correctly. But I mean, also maybe they didn't hire anybody to do it.
Right.
And it's just these people who know nothing about RPGs or pen and paper RPGs scraping something together.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and not really aware of, like, you know, is everything everybody does public domain? You know, they have kind of thinking that people are just contributing things for free. So who owns that? Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess it is hard to do something different and noteworthy. Well, maybe not noteworthy, but different, because, I mean, a lot of times you just have to file the serial numbers off stuff. And I got into a conversation about even fan-made stuff for an IP you don't own is potentially dangerous, and kind of being like a small fish. Like, I've seen numerous homemade games and just release supplements for existing IPs, and you're, I guess, legally not even supposed to do that, but you're just kind of hoping that you swim under the radar. Of course, things get a lot more murky when you start charging money for it, or even suggesting people give you tips, you know?
Right.
But I mean, it's my whole point in that is, it's also, a lot of stuff has been made, and it's also real difficult to be unique and different without, I think you're always going to have something that's similar to something that's already existing out there. But
similar versus, like, word for word.
And the word for word sections are pretty damning, where you just go, oh, this reads exactly the same, except for that place name change. Good job.
I think that is difficult. It is becoming very kind of, you know, mixed in, incestuous. I don't know. It kind of, people are inspired by different things. And so you have a PC game or video game and a movie that are inspiring what you're doing in an RPG. And a lot of people do use to kind of stay focused with when they're writing original campaigns. Like, oh yeah, this, we're like playing Die Hard, but it's fantasy Die Hard. You know, like, you come up with something that's going to keep you free. But then, you know, you're taking you're taking a structure, an existing structure, and trying to adapt that. So it does start to get like that. Yeah. So I think it's interesting. I think RPGs are going to suffer from that maybe more than other media, because just because of that's already been kind of a style and how people operate. They want things to feel familiar and fun. This is like this, but this, and so.
But it's also like a shorthand, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, when you're pitching a game to someone, you can be like, okay, it's like Die Hard, but mix in some cyberpunk or something like that.
Right,
you know? And all your players go, oh, okay, we're all on the same page. So it is a really, really useful shorthand for doing stuff at home. But yeah, you do fall into the trap of making it exactly like the references you're pulling from. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, and with systems like Dungeons and Dragons, or, you know, kind of very open systems. Like, I want to play Lord of the Rings in D&D.
I'm going to fight you on that very open systems, but we don't, not in this one.
Yeah, so that, yeah, I think the temptation to play something familiar, play something you know, especially if you're new to the game. Yeah.
Speaking of incestuous.
Yeah.
What?
There's a segue.
And shady. I think we have, this is the Shady Cast. We're talking about just a bunch of disreputable things. But yeah, Kickstarter. So we found, speaking of incest, a Lannister reference.
Yeah.
Got it, yeah.
There was a short-lived Kickstarter, and I think the goal was like 15,000.
Oh, I didn't even notice what the monetary
goal was. It was pretty high, and they had already generated a few thousand. I think they were maybe, when I saw it, maybe up to four. Yeah.
Why?
And basically, it's a, you know, HBO Game of Thrones. So not even like saying they're Song of Ice and Fire or going back to any original text. An HBO Game of Thrones card game, like collectible card game. And it looked like it was going to be digital from what they showed, but I'm not sure. And the theme song played, and there was an explanation video where some kid was just kind of rambling about what he imagined it would be like. And the inspiration for this project was, well, Pokemon was really popular, and so Game of Thrones is gonna be like super popular. And that's basically how it was worded.
Right. Do you think he was just like, do you think it was a good faith thing where, like, they are just kind of an idiot? Or do you think, like, they were trying to get money for
the,
hearing
his explanation, he sounded, like just like a gentle, confused soul.
Yeah.
Really?
Not quite sure how things worked. But he could come up with $15,000 as a goal. So I don't know. But it didn't seem like intent.
Just ignorant.
Yeah, but in the stretch goals, or not the stretch goals, in the tiers.
The reward
tiers. Pledge tiers. There were signed versions of the game. So I guess it would be a physical game. He was going to print it physically. Yeah, because you'd have to sign it, but he didn't show anything.
Wait,
physical.
His signature?
No. Signed by the cast.
Okay.
George R.R. Martin, and like he just named actors and it's like, oh, this pledge level is this actor, this pledge level. Is he just going to show up at some convention with just like an armload of these games? Like, can you sign these?
I did not actually look at the Kickstarter page. I only saw people tweeting about it and kind of how ridiculous it was. And okay, sure, maybe it was in good faith, but there was quoted text or screen cap of the person replying, "This is not a scam. I was all on the up and up." And yes, I realize some money is going to have to go to HBO, and that's all been taken care of. But
really,
they actually
no, I mean doubting.
Well, yeah, I'm doubting.
Who did you email? Yeah, who signed off on this?
Yeah, yeah. Again, thinking about IPs, right, and how expensive they can be to make stuff. Not seeing any listed price for how much you had to pay for that license, which maybe wouldn't be common knowledge. But the line, "I realize some money will have to go to HBO," to me implies, okay, you know that you kind of can't do this.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
But not enough to know not to.
Yeah. That spirit of Kickstarter, though, you know, that's getting that money to get us started. And we know eventually we're going to have to buy this incredibly expensive license, and it may be more than $15,000, but we're going to be raising this money just to see how excited people will get by this idea. I think it's just a weird, misguided attempt at doing that. And the only thing I could see as calculated about it was that this is the last season. So this would be the last chance. Yeah. If you're going to get an HBO license, and maybe they're going to be giving those away now because this series is just crashing. It's really bad. You saw the Starbucks coffee cup and the scene?
I got sick of it. I got sick of seeing that. Apparently, it was all over Twitter where
there's a Winterfell feast.
A very visible Starbucks coffee cup in the shot left on one of the tables. Yeah.
Beautifully lit. It was beautifully lit. Yeah. So, and it's funny because you would think, you know, there are continuity editors and people working and they're like, if I leave this in there, what do they do? Fire me? Like, the show is over. It's like the last three episodes.
Everyone had senioritis.
Yeah, maybe. I like the coffee cup. I'm sure the Starbucks coffee cup was an accident because who wants to risk the rest of their career
on
doing something like that? I mean, unless you're already on the out. And this is your George Costanza, you know, feet in the frozen yogurt thing saying, "I'm already done. Yeah. You guys, you know." But I don't know. I've stopped watching the Game of Thrones show, but I guess.
I continue to suffer.
It seems like a lot of people are complaining about the writing in season 8 and how things are going because they have completely diverged from the books. But bringing it back to the Kickstarter, I hadn't thought that, hey, well, it's the last season. Maybe the license is a lot cheaper than season 4 or 5 or whatever when you're mid show. But I would be a lot less skeptical of this now killed Kickstarter if they said this is to gauge interest and to purchase the license from HBO.
Yeah, that would have made more sense.
Yeah, rather than going, we're going to make the game and hope for the best.
It's not a scam, and this game is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
That was basically the
thing. Yeah, and like I guess, say again, I didn't go to the page, but I'm guessing there was not any kind of gameplay or anything about it. Just, we're going to make a game, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, and there was some vague talk of power levels and like what numbers represent what, and like, okay. Yeah, he was kind of mumbling through that in the video with the background music being the theme song from the TV
which
series.
Which I'm sure he paid for the rights for to use in that video. Oh. Yeah.
I feel kind of bad for him.
Yeah, it's an odd thing. I mean,
The number of Kickstarters that are completely misguided or legitimately scams, like they're just people trying to get money from unsuspecting folks. And it just so happens, like, bad timing. Bad timing, my dude.
Right. Yeah. So that campaign has since been suspended by the user. So we don't know. I mean, I think.
Oh, actually, by the user.
I think it's suspended by user.
It would be a lot better to be suspended by the user than to be like kicked off Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Or have Kickstarter do something. Yeah.
Yeah. And it said in his profile, like right next to his profile, he has like three previous campaigns. I don't know about successful, but three previous campaigns. So this isn't his first
rodeo.
That was interesting. The incompetence of the show and the incompetence of this Kickstarter kind of nicely coincided. Well, wow. Yeah, I guess this will also be the farewell cast for Jamie. We might not have time to hear you again, but we should now look into all of the software and things that people like Fantasy Grounds and the 2D20 that we can do stuff online. Grounds,
Totally.
Yeah, because it would be a shame to lose this kind of group thing we've got going. Yeah, it's really
I'm
nice.
So spoiled. This is such a good group to game with.
I'm gonna cry.
I love y'all.
People without kids, remote gaming is a decent option.
Right. That's
getting out of the house and not having to fend off a rugrat is the better option for me. Just like, no, stop, go over there. Yeah,
daddy must game. Yeah, that's difficult. And that'll be a nice thing because I haven't had any real reason to do that. Like I don't have so many gaming friends and everyone's kind of disconnected. So there's not, I didn't leave a gaming group, when I came to Japan. But it would be a nice reason to try out a lot of this new software. And I think the technology is getting better. And and also the, you know, the like the D&D one sounds insanely expensive.
Like actual tools.
So we'll have to find something that actually hits that.
Last one we tried was like Skype with Google Hangout or something like that. That was like a couple years ago and it worked, but you just kind of went, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. The only odd thing about, and even when I watch like live streams and stuff with Google Hangout and somebody's face pops up, you watch everybody sneeze and cough because the sound brings their video to focus.
Well, people here are fairly audio savvy, so it's kind of one of those things like, okay, mute your microphone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then do it, unmute it. Yeah.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody's got a cough button. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So we will definitely have to try that.
And
Andrew will be missed. We've had some really fun and really diverse stuff. Yeah. We've done just about every kind of genre for playing. It's been really fun. And Chris is going to have some lonely lunches. Yeah.
It's going to take me a long time.
You're
to, like,
have to
suss
groom.
Out whether or not the new coworkers, blank on the word, have any kind of nerd inclinations.
Yes. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been really fun. Oh, so best wishes with the job and the place to live and all that good
stuff. Hey y'all, hit me up.
You're just going to walk the earth.
Yeah. Yep.
How can people reach you if they want to hire you or just yell at you?
Oh, right. Well, Twitter is good. Ampersand with a J, but there's an underscore before the sand because someone else already had it, but like, heck, I'm going to let them have my name that I use all over the place.
Yes.
Sorry, other Jampersand. It's a really good handle. That's probably the best way to do it. Yeah, that's pretty much the only place I'm consistently available.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Twitter, same.
Yes, that hive mind that we've been talking so much about. Mm-hmm. And also, we'll also link to the Patreon.
FAE underscore fantasy.
Okay.
Stands for short for Fate Accelerated Edition, Fae Fantasy. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And by no coincidence at all, Idle Red Hands now has a Patreon.
Squeaking in under that May 7th deadline.
Everybody's getting grandfathered in.
Yep.
Yeah, there's going to be not too much Patreon in the world because people are just afraid of any changes that company makes. People are just terrified. Yeah, so please check that out. So patreon.com/idleredhands. And we've got a couple of different tiers, and some of them involve getting involved in what we're doing, deciding you know what we talk about next, and also getting involved in gameplay and reviews and things. So
I'm going to have to go become a Patreon supporter and direct the flow of this conversation.
So that is all for this week. It's been a pretty dark, skeptical week. We're suspicious of everybody at this point. Thank you for joining us, and we will be here again next week. So if you like this podcast, please share it. Give us a like if you're listening to the YouTube version of it, and subscribe to either the full podcast or the YouTube channel. So thanks for joining us. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Out.